Turn to 2 Chronicles, chapter 32. We're getting towards the end, and actually at the end of Hezekiah's reign and life. We studied not last week, but the last time about Hezekiah's impending death and how the Lord granted him 15 more years. And Hezekiah's writings concerning the extra years and the times that he was going to have and the times that he wasn't going to have, because he was still going to be a young man when he died, a relatively young man anyway. Anyway, turn 2 Chronicles 32, begin with verse 24 through 26. In those days Hezekiah was sick to the death and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. So Hezekiah has been a good king. He's been a great king. He's done all that the Lord said, except in one regard. You remember, he pillaged the temple. He took all the gold and silver and precious things out of the temple to pay the king of Assyria to keep him from coming and taking Jerusalem. And this guy had already taken many of the cities of Judah, and he gave him all the things that were the Lord's. All the work that he had done to repair the temple, had got all this rotten stuff out of there, and he replaced the things that had been removed, and he gave it to this king of Assyria that he wouldn't come and attack Jerusalem. Now, it showed that he wasn't trusting the Lord very much, at least in that regard. Anyway, and everything else then, he repented of that, I believe. It doesn't specifically say that he did, but the Lord intervened in his behalf and sent the king of Assyria home, wiped out his army, and when the king of Assyria got home, he had him killed. So Jerusalem was safe, just like the Lord said it was going to be. And in spite of what Hezekiah did, but, verse 25, but Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him. He didn't do everything he should have. Now this is talking about the extra 15 years, the benefit, the extra years, where his heart was lifted up. He was proud of himself. He was proud of what he had accomplished. And, you know, if I do something, and like I'm baking something, or I'm frying something, or something like that, if I don't burn it up, I get kind of proud. You know, I have fixed eggs before that you couldn't hardly get out of the skillet, you know, and I've baked things in the oven, and you look at it and you wonder what it was. So, anyway, when you do something right, then you have a tendency to get proud. But the things that he did right, the things that were accomplished, was because of the Lord. Not because of Hezekiah. Now, Hezekiah was the king, yeah. And it was under his kingship that a lot of these good things happened. But he was as for lack of a better term, taking credit for the Lord's work, what the Lord had done. And on account of that, the last part of verse 25, therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Again, Hezekiah was a good king. He was a good man. Look at all the things that he accomplished, all the things that he did for the Lord. And taking all the garbage out of the temple and causing the people to serve the Lord. And then he got kind of full of himself, didn't he? And because of that, therefore, there was wrath upon him. If you're a child of God and you don't do what the Lord wants you to do, and that means you have reading his word, you find out what he wants you to do. It's not something that you have to try to figure out by your own self. It's written down. We have a rule book. It tells us how to live our lives, the things that we should do, the things that we should not do. And being proud is one of the things that we should definitely not do. If you're going to be proud of anything, be proud of the Lord and what he's done for us. Because without him, we're nothing. But, go on here, therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Now the Lord had spared Judah and Jerusalem, just wiped out the armies of Assyria, had wiped out, I forget the actual number. Now, I'm sorry. That's what happens when you get old. That's what they tell me anyway. I can't remember. But anyway, it was a large number of soldiers that was wiped out. The death angel went through the camp and no more problems. Except there was problems. Because Hezekiah was proud. He got full of himself. And wrath was upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. And we got an election coming up in a couple of days. And I've heard people say, I don't know how many times, it doesn't matter who you vote for, there's none of them any count. And to a limited extent, that's true. There's none of them any count. Howsomever, it does matter who you vote for. Now, if you're not praying about who you should vote for, you're not doing God's will. We need to, back in these days, the people didn't pick out who was going to be the king. Anyway, it was all this wrath was going to be coming down on Judah and Jerusalem because of Hezekiah. Their president, their king. And the people here, we have no excuse. We get to go and vote. We get to choose who is going to be the leader of our country. These people did. And still yet, God's wrath was upon Judah and Jerusalem. Verse 26, notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself with the pride of his heart. He turned, he realized the sin that he had done and what was coming if he didn't repent. But he humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Wasn't just him. Now, we have some evil leaders. That's a fact. But they didn't just all of a sudden get there. Somebody voted for them. Maybe we didn't. Still yet, if he's our president, it's our president. If it's our governor, it's our governor. If it's our mayor, it's our mayor. Whatever. Whatever the position is, somebody voted for him. We need to be in prayer about these things. It's important. But he humbled himself for the pride of his heart, trying to take credit for what God had done. But not just him, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And what was the result of that? If you humble yourself before the Lord, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. Now you notice there's a stipulation there. There's sin in the country, in the nation, in the kingdom. And there has to be a penalty for that. But it says the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. So it was still coming, but just not then. Verse 27. And Hezekiah had exceeding much riches and honor, and he made himself treasuries for silver and for gold, and for precious stones, and for spices, and for shields, and for all manner of pleasant jewels. So, he's a rich man now. He's thinking past, maybe. I don't know whether he thinks that or not. I imagine he's been told otherwise. I know he's going to be told otherwise, whether or not this... I don't know the exact timeline on the things we're going to be studying about today, but anyway, he had exceeding much riches and honor. Things that people thought highly about him, but I think this is more to do with physical property things, possessions that were in his care. And he made himself treasuries for silver. Now, I don't have that much silver to where I would have to make my own a special treasury just for the silver. And I don't have enough gold to make a special treasury just for the gold that I have. Matter of fact, I have an old class ring that's gold, kind of. And it's at home in a box and haven't tried to wear it in, I don't know how many years. It's been a long time. And that's the gold I have. And as far as silver, I used to have some silver, but the kids took it and bought milkshakes with it. It was silver coins back when they were, like a quarter was worth $20 or something like that, and they took it and they spent it on a milkshake for a quarter. Expensive milkshakes. Anyway, we don't have that much stuff, do we? We don't need that much stuff. If you're a child of God, you've got everything you need. And in most cases, you got a lot of stuff you don't need. And for precious stones, do you have a treasury for precious stones? Seems to be what it's saying here. Now, it could be that he's lumping all these things together, but he's got more than one treasury, because it says treasury, plural. And for spices, and for shields, and for all manner of pleasant jewels. So everything he's got is wonderful. He's got great stuff. He just humbled himself here in verse 26. And toward verse 27, he's built treasuries to house all his silver and gold and jewels, and shields and spices, precious stones. verse 28, storehouses also for the increase of corn, wine, and oil, and stalls for all manner of beasts, and coats for flocks. So, he's got abundance. Now, when this virus first started, if you went to the grocery store, chances are you're just going to see a bunch of empty shelves when you got there. Now, they had some stuff, you know, and everything like that, but if you went to get Bounty paper towels or toilet paper, you were going to be disappointed, but there just wasn't any. And it's to the point where the lumber prices went up because they were taking all this wood and making more toilet paper with it. And they say that the price of wood is going to be coming down now because people have years' supplies of toilet paper. They don't need it to buy anymore. So they're going to be able to use all this wood now to make dimensional lumber for building and stuff like that. So the price is going to come back down pretty drastically soon. But anyway, they're trying to talk about a second round of this this COVID thing. I think they want you to buy some more toilet paper. I don't know. I don't know that for a fact. But anyway, he has storehouses for the increase of corn. That's an abundance of corn. We have an abundance of corn. We got a press down the basement. We keep canned foods in and stuff. And, we got more corn than we could eat in 3 days. I mean, we got a lot. Different things that we have down there. And wine and oil and stalls for all manner of beasts and coats for flocks. So everything, he's got everything he needs, more than he needs actually, because he's storing them. Verse 29, moreover, he provided him cities and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance, for God had given him substance very much. Now, this is where we see where it comes from. If you've got plenty, it comes from the Lord. You have everything you need. You have more than you need. And there are people that, I won't say that are doing without, but they don't have a lot. If you're trusting in the Lord, you're going to have enough. Now, it might not be, you know, where you go to eat supper, you're going to have steak and baked potato every night. You might have to eat a hamburger. You might have to eat just a potato by itself. But I can remember a time in me and Connie's life where we were one of those people on the bottom rung, so to speak. And we buy a box of bacon, ends and pieces. And it was dirt cheap back then, not like nowadays. You know, this was truly ends and pieces, chunks of. And she would cut up potatoes and fix the bacon with it. And we called it bacon hash. And we had 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 bacon hash. So we know what it's like. Not really to be without, but to be limited on our choices. Do I want bacon hash really done? Or do I want bacon hash just barely cooked? So, I mean, you know, you still have choices to make. But we had what we needed. We had everything we needed. And he provided him cities and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance. Abundance, that means more than he needed. For God had given him substance very much. God had given it to him. Verse 30. The same Hezekiah also stopped the upper water course again and brought it straight down to the west side of the city of David. And Hezekiah prospered and all his works. So he, there was a creek or a river or a stream, whatever, something like that, and he stopped that up, and he brought it into the city. So they didn't even have to go outside the city to get water anymore. And Hezekiah prospered in all his works. Why did he prosper? Because he was finally trusting in the Lord. He was trusting in the Lord. He had repented of the evil that he had done. He was trusting in the Lord, and he prospered in all his works. So you think, well, things are wonderful now, right? Not necessarily. Verse 31, howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. Now, we haven't read about this yet. We're going to any minute now. But God's going to test him. Now, there are going to be things that happen in your life, and you wonder if the Lord's testing you. And not everything that happens in your life is going to be a test. You just got to use common sense. Common sense means what God's Word says. Anyway, he was actually testing Hezekiah here about the business of the princes of Babylon. Now, we hadn't even talked about Babylon yet. Who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land. All this prosperity, when just not too long before, the king of Assyria was there, and the army and their cities were being taken over and everything. And now, look at this, they have plenty. They have plenty. Anyway, God left him to try him. Left him, not left him, but left him to his own device. When man is going by his free will, man will always rebel against God. That is man's nature. Man will always rebel against God. So God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. Turn to Isaiah 39, beginning with verse 1. At that time, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, and we've never heard of Babylon before, right? Sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick and was recovered. So this wasn't too long after this. He heard that Hezekiah had been sick and had recovered. And so he says, and Hezekiah was glad of them, the letters and presents, and showed them the house of his precious things. Here is this guy that he didn't know from Adam, most likely. And he showed him the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointments and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures, or treasuries is what this means. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, Hezekiah showed them not. So here's a guy. He sent a letter. It says, I heard you're sick. I hope you're feeling better. Oh, by the way, here's the present. And he says, oh, come on in. I want to show you everything I've got. Now, Hezekiah was a smart man. He shouldn't have done this. And, you know, if you've got, we have Bible studies. And for the most part, we have it in each other's house. But we had one at the pastor's house this Friday. And you need to know where the living room is so you can have the study. You need to know where the kitchen and dining room is so you can eat. You need to know where the bathroom is for your bathroom. Other than that, you need to know where the door is so you can go home when it's open. You don't need to know everything that the pastor has in his house. It's not our business. I don't necessarily show people around our house. It's pretty much open. They can tell where what is and stuff like that. But, you know, I'm not going to give them the combination to our safe. I trust them, yeah, but you got to use your knowledge. And the Lord wasn't happy with this. All these things that the Lord had prospered him, and here he was again. Look at what all I've got. Look at all my stuff. So what happens? Verse 3, then came Isaiah, we're in Isaiah chapter 39. Verse 3, then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men? What's going on here? What are these men here for? And from whence came they unto thee? Where are they from? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. Now Babylon, prior to this, had been under Assyria. And we know Assyria had pretty much been destroyed. So Babylon was the new kid on the block, the new powerhouse, so to speak. From a far country. And the first thing he does is let him go in and to all of his stuff. Everything that that the Lord had prospered him with. Verse 4, then said he, what have they seen in thine house? What'd you show them? What'd you do? And Hezekiah answered, all that is in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures I have not showed them. So he fessed up to it, but it doesn't sound to me like it was a fess enough. It sounds to me like he was still proud. I showed him everything. We're going to have to stop there because I got too long-winded on some other things. But I'm going to take up this hopefully next Sunday and find out what happened. It's not a pretty picture. Anyway, y'all stay tuned for the next 5 minutes or so, and Pastor's got a great message this morning.